Well hidden. So this is part three of the wedding feast. And it's the last part of it. When I'm done here, I'm going to do an oversight type of review of the healing course that I taught. I'm not going to do the whole thing, obviously. It's 13 weeks long, but I will do a portion thereof because I think it's really important. Healing is something that we need to keep in our thoughts, you know, because the need for it, if not in yourself, then it's in someone around you, or there'll always be someone who needs God's miracle healing power. Amen. And keeping it fresh in our spirit is essential. Absolutely, especially as we see so many viruses and diseases that are going on around the world. We need to know that Jesus Christ is not only our Lord and Savior, but He's also our healer. Amen? Amen. Amen. Okay, so today there were questions, four questions actually about it. And today I'm going to deal with who is the one who refuses to wear the garment. And so it's really speaking from Matthew chapter 22. And it was verses 11 to 14. When the king came in to see the guests, and actually you should read the whole of 22, but when the king came in to see the guests, he saw a man there who did not have on the wedding garment. Now, the wedding garment was provided for them, so the fact that he didn't have it on was not an accident. So he said to him, "Friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment?" And he was speechless. He was speechless. Then the king said to the servants, "Bind him hand and foot, take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, and few are chosen." Many are called, and few are chosen. Now, we all have some idea what that means. God gives opportunity to everyone in the world to make a choice to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior or not to. We have the freedom to make that choice. But it's only those who do make that choice. And today we're going to look a little bit at what does that actually mean? Because giving lip service that Jesus is my Savior and then doing what I want is not what being born again is all about. So, the one who refuses to wear the wedding garment, he really is the one who rejects God's genuine revealed gospel because he wants to follow his own thoughts. He wants to follow his own ways. He sees his own ways as being more legitimate, if you will, than the gospel of what Jesus said. It's amazing the arrogance that you can come across. Christine and I, years ago, it must be 35 years ago now, went to the Civic to pray for a man who had brain cancer. He was dying. And so he wasn't in our church. We just had a ministry at that time where we would go around and pray for people who were sick. And we arrived in his room, and he seemed, you know, nice enough and so forth. And when we got ready to anoint him with oil and pray for him, he said, no. And I said, "Well, I'm told you're dying." He said, "Yeah." I said, "You don't want us to pray for you?" And he said to me, I think it's burned into my brain, "I gave God a chance to heal me and he blew it." That level of arrogance, I can't even begin to comprehend. Naturally, he died shortly thereafter. But it's amazing how people can view their own perception of God, even to their own death. Actually, it's a bit overwhelming, because you can be among believers but not truly be one of them. And that's why it's critically important that each and every one of us regularly take stock of our relationship with God in an honest fashion. And if possible, it's not always possible, have someone speak into your life that you know is a godly person who will tell the truth and who is not afraid. Too often, our spouses, our friends, especially if you're an arrogant character, are too scared to tell you the truth. They're too scared because they know if they tell you the truth, it's coming back on them with a vengeance. What do they call that? Blowback, right? Is that the right word? It's coming back. But we need it. I'm telling you, every single one of us has a need for that. If we want to be ready to meet the Lord, if we want to be ready to, when we stand before God and He examines our lives, which He will do. He will do. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 tells us about it. And that's only for saved people. So that even people who are saved are going to have their lives evaluated. You're still going to get to heaven. But where in heaven you will be and how you will be in heaven is determined by when Jesus applies the fire, the Bible says, to the things we've done and what remains from that. Food for thought. The person here who refuses to wear the garment is someone who lives by his own philosophy and doesn't want to submit, genuinely and sincerely submit his heart before God. He knows better, he thinks. He can talk the talk. Many Christians, I've met many Christians who can talk the talk. Boy, can they talk the talk. They sound like the Apostle Paul reincarnated here. You know, I talk like, you know, God regularly consults them for wisdom. But in fact, they've deluded themselves. And that's a danger for us. For every single person, that's a danger. We need to hear clearly from the Holy Spirit. We need that. That's why the Word of God is so critically important. It's critically important. Because the Word will rise up in your spirit and try to tell you what truth is. The Bible tells us in John, Jesus was explaining part of the role of the Holy Spirit, and he said, part of his role is he'll tell you things. He'll tell you things. He'll tell you what I know. He'll tell you what the Father knows. He'll lead you and he will guide you into all truth if we'll listen to him. But far too often what happens is we make our own plans and kind of go, God, do you have any objections? No. Okay, let's go. And that's, God's not in a rush. God's not in a rush. If we are sincerely wanting to hear what he thinks, it takes an investment of time. It takes time. Because what has to happen is that spiritually, our spirits must connect with the Holy Spirit. And most of us don't live at that level from day to day. So consequently, it takes an investment of time to kind of clear the decks of all the thoughts that come in our mind, and to remove the potential misleadings and get our minds set on God. And it could take days, sometimes weeks, for that to happen. But through that, we can get clarity, because the Holy Spirit will tell us if we'll listen. If we'll listen. And He wants to tell us. He wants to. In fact, if you read 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 7 through 14, He tells us that the Holy Spirit will interpret things for us. He'll explain things to us. And He'll help us to understand things that are complicated and we don't see them clearly and accurately. That's so important. It takes a humble heart to do that. And a committed heart and a desire to walk with God. A desire to walk with God. I assure you, I absolutely promise you this. When you die, or when Jesus returns, whatever happens first, every one of us will wish we had been more spiritual. Every one of us. There won't be a person here who will say, no, I did. Boy, I'm so good, you know. I couldn't have done better, God. You're so lucky to have me here. There won't be any of that. Won't be any of that. We'll all be wishing that, you know, instead of watching the TV for 4 hours, maybe I should have prayed for a little bit. Maybe a half hour even. Something. But by then it's too late. So now is the time. Now is the time. This person somehow has a veneer over his heart. He's the master of his own destiny. He's deluded himself into thinking, I'm in a church, so therefore, I'm saved. There are people who believe that. Are you saved? Yeah, I go to church. That's the answer you get. But see, going to church in itself is not a guarantee. What is a guarantee is having a strong, deep, personal, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ on a day-to-day basis. Having a love for the Word of God and then following that through by reading the Word, by living the Word, by spending quality time with God. You can be in the church and still not be in Christ. Now, we all go through times that are a bit dry. So what do? Well, do you ever wake up in the morning and think, I don't want to go to work? When I worked for the government, I woke up most mornings that way. But I still went. Why did I go? Because if you don't go, you don't get paid. You know? Sometimes, you know, we don't always live in a buzz relationship with God. We don't always live that way. Sometimes you just do it. You know? You just do it. You do it because it's the right thing to do. And you persevere. And there are times I read the Word of God and I don't feel like it. I don't feel like doing it. But I do it anyway. I do it anyway. Because I know I need it. I know I need it. And typically after, I'm really glad I did. But not always initially. You know. You can make a profession of faith without any substance to it. That's what this fellow is here. The one who refuses to wear the wedding garment. He talks, but there's nothing in his heart for God. Feels safe now because he's in the church. A person who is a stranger to the power of the Holy Spirit. But he's acquainted with the letter of the law. It's why for us, when our relationship with God is strong and healthy, there is a sense of wellness. Real wellness. not perfection, but wellness. That you know in your spirit that God loves you despite, and that you love God regardless of whether or not He has answered every need and greed in our hearts. This individual here, I won't mention the name of someone very prominent, was asked, "You ever repented to God?" And he said, "No." And they asked him, "Why not?" And he said, "Well, I never had to. But if I do something wrong, I will." This is a world leader who has made those statements. It shows the depth of delusion that we can live in. And we don't want to live there. Life is far too short. You think of the thousands of people who have died from the coronavirus. Thousands have died. Or the individual, that basketball player who crashed. For those individuals, it's done. It's done. They are now before God, and depending on their relationship, they are either with God or they're not. That's a very serious thing. And the world tries to move us away from that reality. They don't even want prayer in the schools. When I went to school, show you how old I am, we were marched off to church the first Friday of every month to go to Mass. And the day before, to go to confession. The whole school. I mean, you would watch. I don't know how many we were. 300-400 maybe. Kids just marching down the street off to the church, trying to outdo one another's sins. We had no understanding of what we were doing, but we did it anyway. Today, you're not even allowed to do that. We live in a world that is so anti-Christ that it's ridiculous. So this individual here calls himself a Christian, but there isn't a depth of a relationship that influences his behavior. I actually heard this, that it was, this is a true story. I forget where, it's in the States somewhere. Years ago, someone was preaching, said, "Come to Christ, come to Christ. He'll make you the best you can be. Come to Christ." So this bad guy, he was a gangster of some kind, came to the altar and received Jesus as his Savior, according to what was said. And then, I guess a few weeks later, he was still out shooting people and robbing and so forth. And so they called him in and said, what are you doing, you know? And he said, "What do you mean?" "Well, did you not receive Christ?" Yeah. "You said he'd make me the best I could be. I'm the best robber there is." That's pretty weird, but that's a true story. It's amazing how we can interpret things through our filters. You know, our filters can be quite remarkable. But that's what he believed. And so it is really important. If you don't have a love in your heart for other people, you don't have God. Because God is love. God is love. That doesn't mean you have to agree with everybody. But you can't live in a continuous state of animosity and bitterness. That's this person here. So, the last question is, why was this man speechless? What verse was that here? Verse 12, he was speechless. Why was he speechless? We very seldom meet someone who has no excuse. I mean, let's face it. Most of the time, the excuses are piled high. In fact, for many, excuses have been raised to an art form, even within the church. But this man could say nothing. He could say nothing. Why is that? Well, first of all, his insult was too glaring. What do I mean? I mean, he was standing, we will be standing before Christ. Not someone else. You know, not an individual here. And he says to him, how did you get in here without the wedding garment that was provided for you? No one forced him to receive it. No one. But he thought he could deceive. Or he didn't care. Or he thought, he won't mind, doesn't really matter. He doesn't really mean it. And he would have had to push his way through with all the people there. I'm sure some of them would have said, where's your wedding garment? And he would ignore that. Just like, as I'm saying to you today, if you don't have an intimate relationship with Jesus, you're in trouble. You could ignore that. And walk, you don't think he's just a fanatic, walk out. But when you stand in front of Jesus, and you will, that'll be the time where, what can I say? I knew I was supposed to have an intimate relationship. I knew that Christ was to be formed in me. That's the mandate we have here. Actually, at first, when we first talked about it, I didn't even know what that meant, you know, 30 years ago. I mean, I have an overall thought about it, but I didn't understand that we are to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. That's what he's asking for. Now I have a much better understanding. And it's a tough thing to do. Make no mistake, it's a tough thing to do. Because it means that you give up your rights for vengeance, for pretty much everything. And you receive from God his direction, his blessing. But we realize that, or at least I've come to realize that, when God says, I don't want you to be bitter, he's not being mean. Bitterness will kill you. Slowly. And painfully. Animosity, unforgiveness, those are things that they destroy the soul, which then destroys the body. So when Christ says to us, get rid of that, get rid of it. Do not return evil for evil. He's not trying to be mean. He's trying to help us. Besides which, nobody gets away with anything in God's world. Nobody. Everyone gives an account without exception. Everyone. So that's why it's so important for us to believe that God loves you. God loves you. And he wants the absolute best for you. But we were listening to someone last week. And I, of course, have heard this years ago in psychology, that it takes 21 days, I believe, 21 days for a new thought to take root. Most people's attention span is about 35 minutes. Now, these are students, 35 minutes. And I always found it ironic that when they taught us that, it was in a 2-hour lecture. But that's what they did.
And it was 21 days to insert a new thought, ground it, and then 63
days.
Yeah, for it to become
a habit. Yeah. But for a new thing that you hear, it takes 21 days of soaking in it. When I say 21, I don't mean 21 days if you've never thought of it, but 21 days of soaking in it until it takes root. And then to change the habit, she said 63 days. I'm not sure if that's completely accurate, but let's say it is. For us to change, we can't hear something once. That's the thing, is you can't hear something once and say, got it. Most of the time, and these, you know, they did this with really bright people. They did these testings where, how much did they retain? And they found that even the brightest didn't retain more than half of what they heard in a lecture or something. That they had to hear it over and over. And I remember Norval Hayes had a teaching on calling those things that be not as though they were. And he had two tapes out. And I listened to the first one 40 times. And people thought I was nuts. So I didn't tell him I listened to the second one 60 times. But at the end of that, I absolutely guarantee it was in my spirit. It was in my spirit. The revelation of those words calling into existence the things that do not exist was in my spirit. Because I wanted it. I desired it. And I went after it. And God helped me because He wanted me to have it as well. And that's, as we're following Christ, that's what we have to pursue. Is soaking in the Word of God. Soaking in the Word of God. Not just casually reading it, but soaking in it. Till it actually becomes a living part of us. We don't end up like this character. Standing before God going, we don't want to do that. We don't want to. We want to have the absolute assurance that we belong to Jesus. We belong to Jesus. My name is not just written in the book of life, but my name's written on the palm of His hand. Did you know He writes your name on the palm of His hand? Or does He write it? How do you know that? How do you know that's true?
Isaiah
49. He writes our name in the palm of His hand. It will give you the assurance that when you are facing something, you can trust God. You can trust God. But if you've never had to trust God for anything, you don't know. You don't know if He'll come through. It's only through the difficulties of life that we learn that God is always faithful. Always faithful. Always faithful. This person here, he's lost. He's lost. Eternally lost. And Jesus said, many are called, but few are chosen. That's a scary statement to hear. I don't know what the numbers will be, but when I read that, I hear everyone's invited, but very few are going to get in. Make sure you're one of them. Make sure you're one of them. You can know the absolute certainty that you belong to God. You belong to God. There should be the marks of Christ on you. What does that mean? What does that mean, marks of Christ? Paul talked about having that. Now, in his case, he had physical marks. You don't have to have that. But what are the marks of Christ? That means having enough evidence about you to prove that you belong to Jesus. How is your life lived? What have you done for someone else? How have you loved the people of God and the people in general? What have you done for them? How have you reached out to be a blessing? If the people who know you, would they call you a blessing? That's reality. Because when God applies the fire to your life, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, you can read it, What he's doing there is not, it's not a test, do I go to heaven? You're already in heaven. It is a test, how did I live my life? And he will put the fire to that. And there's no fooling God. There's no fooling God. And if it burns up, you get nothing. You're in heaven, but by the skin of your teeth, as they say. You have to decide while you're here breathing, is that what I want? Do I want God to receive me that way? No one can choose that except yourself. No one. But again, let me assure you, we'll all wish we'd done a little more. You know. And it's good to think about it. Because if we don't think about it, we won't do anything about it. You know, it's like going on a diet. If you don't think about what you're eating, need I say more? It is what it is. You got to pick the area you want to work on. Amen?
Amen?
All right. Father, help us to lay hold of the truths of your word. Make them real to us, Lord. Help us to realize that we can do nothing without you and that you love us deeply and passionately. That you, Jesus, are a radical. You're a radical. And you want your people who love you to love you radically as well. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then your neighbor as yourself. We bless you this morning, O God. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Any questions?
I have one.
Go right ahead, please.
Have you spoken the word with me? Does that mean keep on continually reading it or continue listening to it?
Yes. Do I have a series on that? How to meditate? Yeah. We should see. There is, like, there are things you can do. And I think I did teach us something on how to meditate in the Word of God, because reading the Word is one of the things that you do, but it's not the only thing. So we'll have to look this week and see if we can find it.
One way is to pray the Word. If you're going through the Word and you begin to pray it back to God, I find that an excellent way of soaking. And doing prayer.
No, but there's a number of steps that I put in. For example, you start off with worship. Worship music kind of gets you in a spiritual thought, thinking, and then reading the scripture, praying over it, you know, and asking the Holy Spirit to unfold it to you, looking up other passages that have to do with whatever topic you're looking at. There are a number of things in it, and we'll see this week. Yeah.
Rush to take your time on one area of your garden so you really feel you can
rest.
People are worried that they have to cover the whole thing.
Yeah. It's better to do 3 or 4 verses and get them solidly revealed to you than it is to study or read 10 chapters and get nothing out of it.
Yeah.
So, but we'll see if we can find something for you by next week. Yeah, I think I did as well, so it's been a little while since I did it, but we'll see what we can get for you.
Thanks.
You're welcome. Anything else? Okay, God bless you. Praise.